When we speak of creative optimism, we are not talking about a cheap optimism that says everything is all right when it is not. We do not say peace when there is no peace. We say peace ought always to be, and when it is not, there is nothing wrong with peace itself. There is something wrong with us. There is a creative law in the universe which makes everything. That is quite evident. This creative law is the mind of God. That is evident too. The mind of God, through the imagination of God, sets the law of God in motion, or moves through the law. Probably the law does not move, but imagination moves upon it. Roughly, we speak of setting the law in motion. So the law of the universe is subject to the imagination that uses it. The starting point of life must be consciousness. If that were not true, no one would know there was any life. So all the great teachers have told us that in the beginning God, in the beginning the creative spirit, in the beginning means right this moment, the beginning of any creation. When we awoke this morning, that was the beginning of a new day. There was nothing but God. Now God moves. Where does God move? God is everywhere. Therefore the movement of God is within and upon itself, involution. Just as the seed moves within the soil, God moves upon itself. God speaks the word, then the law of God works upon that word. If you ask yourself, how did anything come into being? How did we get here? What is it all about? The only answer you could think of would be, by some invisible force, acting as law, making things. It has will, choice, and imagination fused into one, and everything that takes place in accord with the law. Then we may say, well, I am some part of this whole thing. I am some part of God. God in me is still God and still operates through me the same way it does outside of me. In other words, the nature of God and law of God and the mind and spirit of God are incarnated in me, in everyone. There is nothing else we can be. This is not a flight of fancy. It is not a revelation or a special dispensation of providence. It is just common sense. Here we are, and if we are here, there had to be a way for us to get here and a law to justify it. Right now, we are living in the beginning of creation. The first thing is the mind of God, then the imagination, which is the will of God, then there is the word of God and the manifestation or sequences of creation. We start with intelligence. Intelligence speaks, thought thinks, and idea images. Thought sets the law in motion, and manifestation takes place. That is the fundamental principle. The universe, as we experience it, is the result of the creative affirmation of the infinite mind operating as law. Whether or not it can be anything else, we are the product of that, and we cannot be anything else. Whether we know it or not, our mind is the mind of God in us, and that is why it is creative. This has nothing to do with spiritual evolution. We do not evolve spiritually, we only evolve psychologically and physiologically. Our thought is creative. Consequently, what we affirm will tend to be, and what we deny will tend not to be in our experience. In our evolution, we become confused, but our thought is still creative. However, because it is not in harmony with the divine, what it creates is discordant. The divine harmony alone is continuously perfect. Hence that which is not of God must fall because it does not have any eternal verity to support it. We have imagination, but do we have a positive or negative viewpoint about life? A constructive consciousness is more creative than a negative one. The person who is living affirmatively is using the law to build up rather than to tear down. Therefore he has permanency behind him, and he has the authority which comes of being in accord with the nature of God or reality. There is something else that is very important. I believe in what we call the law of identification. You have never yet seen a successful man who spent his time thinking that he is going to fail. If he should take a temporary failure as final, he would never succeed. But if a really constructive man should fail, he laughs at it and goes to work to become successful again. He never identifies himself with failure. He has the creative viewpoint, that is, his functions of mind are always identifying him with success. Creative optimism is constructive affirmation, and constructive affirmation is positive mental imagery, which is faith and belief, and identifies the one affirming with the object of his desire. That is a mental treatment or a prayer that will always be answered. We take the wish out of the prayer wheel when we deny that the wish will come true. An affirmation tends to create, a denial tends to erase. and you will discover that statements identifying the person with the thing thought of in the treatment can actually rub out the cause of any negation in his mind. The thing to do is to keep on working until you get this result. For every negation, find an affirmation which neutralizes it, completely destroys it, and builds up the exact opposite. You will find, in your mental work, if your work scientifically as well as spiritually, that you will be identifying yourself with your desire. And as time goes on, that is the thing that will come out to meet you. The spiritual mind practitioner is not a miracle worker. God has not delivered something special to him. He is like a master electrician who knows the power he is dealing with and knows how to wire a building to make use of that power. That is what a practitioner does. He is working not only with a great concept of the divine presence, a true philosophy of unity, a philosophy of beauty, but with the law of mind. When Jesus said, "When ye pray, believe that ye receive and ye shall have," he was teaching creative optimism, creative imagination, through the law of identification of the individual with the object of his desire. This is a law as definite as the law of gravity, the law of chemical or of attraction and repulsion, and the only way you will ever know it is to use it. This is simple and does not take much time. And I believe that if we will forget about being scientific religionists and just feel that we are human beings with a great capacity for life, filled with laughter, joy, and fun, and if we will forget that we must be profound and become as spontaneous children, we shall be successful. Everyone is a law unto themselves under the great law of all life. So collectively and individually, right now we should be endeavoring to identify our whole consciousness with a new world, a world living together in peace, prosperity, and happiness. When enough people do that, that is the way it will be. Just as the sum total of our thoughts governs our individual lives, so the sum total of our collective thoughts governs our nation, and the sum total of the collective thought of the community of nations governs their destiny. We must start with the self. What could keep us from doing this other than our belief that it is not true? Half-hearted belief will not do. Don't let us do it unless you can make it the most enthusiastic, the most convincing thought in life. Don't open up the divine possibility that you have never reached before, only to close it again. But remember, all the power there is centered in everyone's consciousness. We are truly an inlet to it, and we may become an outlet. It is not unto the great, not unto the wise, not unto the extremely intellectual that this great truth has most persistently come. It is unto the childlike, unto the simple and trusting. God grant that that child, who has been buried in the tomb of false experience too long, shall come forth from the imagination of God, from the infinite spirit, through each one of us. It is the son and daughter begotten in each to the glory of God.